You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
First, giving honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to our pastor, Pastor Twyman, the man of God of this house. We'd like to thank him for this opportunity. Truly, I don't deserve to stand here before the people of God that God has placed him over. But I thank him for the opportunity to exercise the gift which the Lord have given to me. To all the other ministers on the rosters, to all the trustees, deacons, members, and friends, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to draw your attention to the gospel according to John. I'll be reading from the 19th chapter. From the 17th through the 22nd verse. I'll be reading it from the King James as well so as the New Living Translation. A lot of the quotes that I'll be making will be from the New Living Translation in my sermon. John 19 and 17. And he bearing his cross went forth into the place called the skull of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And it's written was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The title then read, many of the Jews from the place where Jesus had crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And they said, the chief priests and the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. From the New Living Translation, it says, so they took Jesus to lead him away, carrying the cross by himself. Jesus went to the place called the skull, the hill, in Hebrew, Golgotha. And they crucified him, and there were two others crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign over him that read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The place where the Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. And so many people could read it. And the leading priest said to Pilate, change it for the King of the Jews, to he said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate replied, what I have written, I have written. It stays exactly as it is. From those particular verses of the scripture, I like to pose this particular subject, a life-changing event. A life-changing event. A life-changing event. We began this quarter of our Sunday school lesson dealing with the beginning. And it posed a series of events where God had stepped out of nothing into something and brought into existence creation. And the Bible opened with this doctrine as a statement of fact of the events of God and who he is. Because it says, in the beginning, God. The omnipresent one. The omnipotent one, all-knowing. The omnipotent one, all-powerful. The sovereign God. God transcends beyond the universe, our intelligence, and our imagination. Events are important to us in the secular world, we measure life by the events that we encounter.
All right.
But I propose to you today, like many of the advertisers do in TV ads and other commercial type situations, to become a promoter of Jesus Christ. To become a promoter of Jesus Christ. By word of mouth, TV, radio,
yes,
and social media, promoters make sure that you are aware of every event that's going to take place.
That's right.
And we adhere to those promotions. But I'm asking you today, just don't be a listener to those promoters. Become a promoter of Jesus Christ. Become a promoter of Jesus Christ. Even if there are good or bad events that have taken place in our lives, they are still a statement of fact based on something that was written or something that had been witnessed. To give you some examples, every year since 2001 when 9/11 come, the question is posed to everybody, where were you at? What were you doing? And everybody rushed back in their minds to that event, and they can bring up all the things that had happened that day, where they were, what they were doing,
right,
what was happening, how they felt. But my question to you today would be, what happened or when the Lord came into your life? When the Lord came into your life, do you remember that event? Can you tell somebody about when Jesus touched your heart? Can you let somebody know the date, the time, and the place, and where you were when you met Jesus? Genesis starts out by telling us the whole of the history of mankind. And it goes on to talk about the first murder, not between the two brothers, but when the Lord had to sacrifice something because of man's sin. That was an event. That animal gave his life that he might be covered the sin of mankind. No different than Jesus did for each and every one of us. Then it goes on to talk about the murder between two brothers.
Yes.
That should have, by all rights, loved each other with an everlasting love. But one asked the question, am I my brother's keeper? What an event that was. Then it goes on to talk about, you know, like in our Sunday school lesson today, Noah, that preached for 120 years, it's going to rain. I'm telling you today, it's raining. It's raining, people of God. It's raining. Just like the pastor mentioned this a few minutes ago about the situation in Pittsburgh, it's raining. Because men have lost sight of God. It's raining. Genesis 18 talk about a childless man, Abraham. And God said that Nesian would be blessed through the seed of this particular man. And from this seed come Jesus Christ. Then Moses came upon a great fleet. He saw a bush being burned by fire but not consumed. And this was a great event for Moses. What have God showed you? What have he put on flame in your life?
All right. Yes, sir.
Then he dealt with Egypt in 10 plagues. Then he took him to the Red Sea and parted the Red Sea. These are great events that have taken place. Isaiah go on to say, a king will be born in the line of David.
Yes, sir.
And he said it from Isaiah 9 and 7. He said, he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. And in Isaiah 9 and 6, he said, a child will be born. Mm-hmm. And it's for a child, for unto us a child is born.
Yes.
And he'll be called Wonderful, the Mighty Counselor, the Everlasting God. And in Isaiah 7 and 13 and 14, he shall be born of a virgin.
Yes.
Hear now, you house of David. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.
Yes,
and that is to say, God with us.
Yeah, yeah.
All these are, and many more, are the signs of the events of the Old Testament pointing to the coming of Christ.
Yes, sir.
But I'm going to tell you, he's coming back again also.
Yes, sir.
He's coming back again.
Yes, sir.
The Apostle Paul here in the Gospel of John writes to inspire our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God.
Yes.
He tells of his person, his attributes. He tells of his deity. He tells of the work of the Holy Spirit and of the divine commission of God.
All right.
Perhaps most notable of all these distinctive points is the gospel is the fact that on half of this space is given tribute to the events of God's life and the saying and the things that Jesus did as he walked this earth for the 33 years. It talks about his discourse and conversation with Nicodemus, the woman of Samaria, and the parable of the good shepherd. It records 8 miracles of Christ. But the most central thought that needs to be prevailing in us is in the faith in Jesus Christ and eternal life. I hope you remember the movie, The Passion of the Christ. And if you will, take a walk down memory lane with me as we review this 19th chapter of John. As I went to see that particular movie, it was a great movie to see. And it's a great movie to sometimes to reflect on, to remind us of what Jesus done. I know it shouldn't take pictures like that to make us move us. The word of God should move us. But it was something about the picture, the sight of what I saw as I watched that movie. And that's what we see starting out in this 19th chapter of John.
Yes, sir.
Pilate had Jesus flogged. If you remember that scene, they took Jesus and they tied him around the post. And they took his clothes off his back and his flesh was laid open. And the guard whipped him and whipped him and whipped him. And to me, it seemed like it angered the guard because Jesus didn't say a mumbling word. It gave him great frustration because he was beating him and he wasn't reacting like any other normal man. But then the soldiers planted together a crown of thorns. That's what you see as we open up this 19th chapter. And they placed it on his head. One smote him on the head and pushed it down into his brow. That blood dripped from his face. And then they, to humiliate him even more, they put a robe over him and said, "Here's your king." To humiliate him even more. But in all that, he did it for you and I. And everything he did that we might have a right to the tree of life. You had them in the crowd, the chief priest and the official hollering, "Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Come on, sir.
What are we saying today? Are not we saying, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him"? Because we are not living the life that Christ projected for us to live. We're not living the life that he showed as an example for us to live. We don't demonstrate the love that he demonstrated toward each and every one of us. So we are still saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Then the soldiers was charged to take him to the hill. And he carried his cross. Will you carry the cross with Jesus today? Will you carry the cross with him today? Will you walk with him as he walked up that hill called Golgotha?
Come on, son. Come on.
And he carried that cross for you and I. Yes. And if you imagine in that picture that we saw what Nell Gibson did, it should bring, I saw men, women, boys and girls get up out of their seats and go to the wall and lay their face against the wall and wail and cry because of what they saw that day. I saw people weeping in their seats because it showed the passion of what Christ went through for each and every one of us. It showed the hardship that he dealt with for my sins and your sins. As the pastor often said, if he did for that for us, why don't we live for him? Because he died for us. Then in Galatians chapter 4, he says, but when the time was fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Yeah. Hebrews 2:14 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he has shed in their humanity. He was 100% God and he was 100% human.
Yes, sir. That's right.
His humanity,
yes, sir.
He
yes,
did
sir.
That so that we might be saved from Satan's grasp, from the devil's hand. So that we might be able to live eternally with him. That was and is a life-changing event. So Jesus went to that place called the skull. He allowed them to put nails in his hand and a ribbon in his feet. And they pierced him in his side until blood and water flowed out that we might be saved from this damnable hell that we was headed to.
Yes,
I heard that for myself some 20 years ago when I was in Alabama in Gastonburg. I heard what the preacher said. Yes, how that same Jesus took that cross and went to that hill. Yes, and he died upon that cross.
Yes,
and that he stayed in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. But early one Sunday morning, he got up that I might have a right to the tree of life. I'm reminded of the song by Robert Lowry. Nothing but the blood can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can make me right again. Oh, remember, it's nothing to know. It's better to know Jesus for yourself. It's better not to take somebody else's word. But it's good if you know him for yourself. And that you will know that absent from this body, be present with the Lord.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. And we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.